on this episode of Rev Hang.
I want to strangle Mercedes Project Management or Product Management. Just like, do they actually need the oxygen going to their brain, or are they okay without it? I don't know.
Let's put a four-cylinder PHEV in our C63S. Oh, why is nobody buying them? Oh, customers don't want horsepower or V8. They just want horsepower and technology.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Rev Hang. I am Nathan, and alongside me, as always, is my good friend and co-host, Ben Bagley. How's it going, Ben?
Oh, it's going pretty good. I got to ride my motorcycle today, which is always fun. It was a little chilly this morning. 40 degrees on a motorcycle is a lot colder than 40 degrees in a truck. Fun fact.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it has been a chilly morning for sure, but it has heated up in the afternoon, and it is actually very pleasant outside right now.
Yeah. Nathan loves it when it's this nice outside because he gets to do extra editing in post.
Yeah, all the color correction for all of the fun backlighting that we have, which is totally great.
Remember, folks, exposed for the face, not the background.
Right. Yes, indeed. But this is not a color correction editing tutorial podcast, as I don't know if that's even possible.
It's definitely
in
possible.
An audio There's, form.
There is something.
There's got to be something.
Trust me.
If not, I will start one. No, I won't. But this is a racing podcast, so let's dive right in. We've got some paddock news to go through this lovely week. Starting off, Max Verstappen had a child. Well, more specifically, his long-term girlfriend, Kelly Piquet, had a child. And Max Verstappen is the father. So he is officially a full father now, not just a stepfather, as he has been to Kelly's daughter with... Danny Kvyat. That's how you say his name. Kvyat, maybe, if that's not how you say his name. That's a whole nother can of worms and a whole nother story that I could probably make a standalone video on, but won't.
Max isn't a stepdad. He's just the dad who stepped up.
I would not go that far. That's going to... Okay. Moving on. Max Verstappen had a baby. And he is a father, and he has not slowed down very much at all by that. If I can learn how to talk, we'll keep moving on here. Cadillac has done their launch event in Miami this weekend. On Saturday night, they teased the livery of their car, sort of. It was all kind of in shadow.
Yeah, and lots of flashing lights.
Lots of flashing lights. There was no strobe warning.
Yeah,
at the beginning
no
of the
seizure
video.
Warning. No, that was crazy.
So hopefully everybody in the crowd was okay.
I watched it at night after it had already happened. I was in bed watching this like little YouTube clip of it.
Yeah.
And I was like,
I can't see. Yeah. Lots of flashing lights, lots of like hype, not a lot of substance on that video.
Yeah.
It did look like they might be running an Imperial blue car, probably blue and white. So we're talking like the colors that the USA teams in the Olympics wear. That would be Imperial blue, which would be pretty cool.
I mean, official American racing colors for autosport is white with blue stripes.
Right. So, I think we're probably going to get blue with white stripes, more likely. But
go Williams.
Yeah. That seems to be the case. In terms of drivers, there's kind of a lot of names that have been flung around, including the most likely seems to be Sergio Perez to Cadillac as the first driver.
Alex
hope that Pelos, works out for him.
Yeah, Alex Pelos' F1 buyout agreement has come up recently again.
Oh, yeah.
I think people now want him out of the sport. Not so they don't want him to succeed in F1. They just want him out of IndyCar.
Yeah, he's too good. That would be interesting. I definitely could see that happening.
Yeah.
With Andretti already being on the IndyCar grid, they already have good relations with Pelot, I am sure, in terms of, like, you know, they're friendly.
Well, it's not like they're exactly
they
competitors right now, so.
No, right, exactly. Pelot is definitely an option. That would be very exciting. I've heard Valtteri Bottas' name thrown out there. Colton Herta, I'm sure, is in the mix.
His name gets quieter and quieter every single time it's brought up.
It really does. The rumors were big, and then they're becoming less big as time
His
goes on.
His picture is actively keeping him from F1 at this point.
However, I'm sure if possible, Andretti would like an American in that team. Mm-hmm. So Colton Herta, I think, is still probably a pretty good shot for the second seat.
Yeah, I mean, who's the other option? Newgarden,
Kyle Kirkwood, also an Andretti.
The Newgarden one was a joke, by the way.
Why?
You see his race?
I mean, he's not been great the last couple of years.
Have you seen the 2024-2025 season?
I'll give you that. He's not been awesome. So also his F3 outing was pretty atrocious, which you can learn about if you go back and watch the only standalone video released on their F-Hang page. Oh,
that's pretty cool.
Yes. So Newgarden, not as likely. Kyle Kirkwood, I think, is more likely than Newgarden.
Yeah.
But I think a Perez-Herta pairing makes a lot of sense. They're both from North America. And then you got Herta as the American. So
then you have, like, the veteran versus young driver.
The veteran, setup. The guy who's going to know setups. Well, the guy who's been in the sport for a while.
With Max Verstappen not around, he might have a chance to actually figure out what his setup should be and then share it with the rest of the team.
I'm interested to see how he drives not in a Red Bull.
Yeah.
I mean, because he was always really consistent and solid when he was not in Red Bull.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that might have a lot to do with it. It would be very interesting to see him come back. And he's also been still around F1 talks. He's not been to a bunch of races. He was in Miami. He was at the Cadillac launch event. So lots of, you know, hints being dropped there. But people haven't forgotten about Perez yet. And so I think there's definitely a good shot that he ends up in the first Cadillac seat. Next up, we have Jack Doohan rumors. They're about as secretive as...
As subtle as a brick thrown at your face.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it, Ben. Sounds like Doohan might be replaced by Franco Colapinto at the Imola Grand Prix in 2 weeks' time. Would not be shocked at all. Doohan has not been blowing the doors off anybody. He's crashed a lot. He's been slow. Colapinto, of course, came out last year and was fast right out the gate in a Williams, which last year was not great.
Yeah,
so hit or miss. He did crash a lot, but everybody in that Williams crashed. I think Albon crashed more
Albon
than...
Albon probably crashed more than him and Sargeant combined by the end of the season.
He did. Albon did crash more than him and Sargeant combined by the end of the season. And, of course, we know how good Albon is after this season. Albon's been crazy good. So... Colapinto, I think, makes a lot of sense. I was kind of sad to see him leave the sport at the end of last season. And honestly, I would be less sad to see Doohan leave the sport. Not because he's, like, a bad guy, but I guess he just hasn't been in long enough to where I have any sort of attachment to him. And he's not great enough to where I feel bad that he's been dropped.
Yeah. There's opportunities for more exciting drivers. Indeed. Although, he did out-qualify Gasly.
He did.
And he was DNF'd out of this race due to a technical issue rather than...
No, he was DNF'd because he crashed into Liam Lawson in turn one.
Who was it? That was Behrman and...
Bortoletto. Bortoletto, yes.
Yeah. The other rookies.
The other rookies.
It was a bad race for rookies. We'll get to that later.
It was indeed a bad rookie race. Fernando Alonso, too, also had a pretty poor showing. But let's move into IndyCar at the Children's of Alabama Grand Prix in...
Spider race.
Alabama. It's spider race, indeed. We'll go through the top 10 in qualifying to give you context. Alex Palou was on pole position, which means we all knew what was going to happen before the green flag even flew. Scott McLaughlin in second, Colton Herta in third, fourth and fifth were Power and VK. 6 through 10 were Siegel, Lundgaard, O'Ward, Newgarden, and Simpson. Race highlights, not a lot of them. Palou led the entire race and the entire field. Dixon cut through the field very quickly. Guy actually had a very decent race, especially considering there were no cautions. And Christian Lundgaard made his way to P2 by the end of the race to secure his third podium in four races this season.
Yeah.
Guy is insane, killing it for McLaren right now.
Seeing how far... you don't really see drivers get that far ahead in any car. Palou has been.
It's just crazy how good he is. And... I think a lot of that has been helped by the fact that there haven't been cautions, but also I think this is his first pole position this year, so I guess you can't really say that. He's just so fast. He's got an incredibly good car under him.
His team is on
Ganassi
top.
Is on it right now. They are killing it on all cylinders, all six of them. And that was a stupid joke.
It's okay.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
Crofty level joke.
Yeah, for real. Anyway,
although it wasn't as bad as Buxton's Lingard.
Lingard, yeah.
Joke during the race. I cringed watching that.
Yeah, not great. So let's go through the results and we can talk about this a little bit. Alex Palou won the race, followed by Lingard and McLaughlin. Fourth and fifth were VK and Power. VK with a great result, his best in a while. 6 through 10 were O'Ward, Herta, Rossi, Siegel, and Newgarden. Newgarden got 10th. Not.
Yeah, but he started 9th.
Yeah. McLaughlin started 2nd and finished 3rd. That's a little different, though.
Yeah, that's still a podium.
All right. So, Palou dominance, it's no secret. It's been happening for, this is the 3rd year in a row now, I believe.
Yep.
And
it's even crazier because it's stock car racing.
Yeah, like it's a
spec series.
Mm-hmm. So, all the cars are exactly the same. The setups can be changed, obviously. Obviously, Palou is incredibly good at setting up a car.
Yeah.
As is Chip Ganassi. They're killing it right now.
Their pit team is perfect, and it makes me sad every time I watch it.
Yep. Nothing more to say about Palou. He's going to run away with this championship more than likely, and I don't think there's anything anybody can do about it.
Nope. People are mad about it.
People are getting increasingly...
People might actually be more mad about him dominating IndyCar than they were about Verstappen dominating in F1.
Yeah. I wonder what the record is for consecutive champions or championships.
In IndyCar, it can't be that high.
It's got to be 3 or less, and it would be Scott Dixon. I bet in the 80s, like, Al Unser and, like, Mario Andretti won a ton. I bet there's some older...
Let's see, let's use the internet.
Yes.
Sebastian
Bourdais won 4 in a row.
Really?
That's pretty nuts.
I did not know that.
Maybe that's Indy 500, actually. That's consecutive race wins.
Al Unser won 5 in a row. Wait, that's races. Yeah. I went to the wrong. Most IndyCar.
That is championships. So yeah. That's in the kart series, which is kind of like off-brand IndyCar when IndyCar was not really a thing.
IndyCar, but good.
So no one has won 4 consecutive. AJ Foyt won 4 Indy 500s, not consecutively. But Sebastian Bourdais won 4 kart championships in a row, which will essentially count as IndyCar.
From 2004 to 2007. Yeah, that's the close we're going to get.
That's pretty good.
That is pretty good.
But Christian Lundgaard, 3 podiums in 4 races. Very good considering it's his third season in the sport.
Yeah.
And he's now with McLaren. I think he's a team where he definitely deserves to be. And he's making O'Ward look bad. O'Ward was their golden boy for a while, but I feel the tide shifting, and that feels to be less the case because I don't think O'Ward has had a good season in a couple years now. Like a really good season. And he has some crash happy problems.
Yeah.
Lundgaard's killing it for McLaren. I think he has a good shot to finish top 3 in the championship for sure.
And Siegel's actually been doing pretty well too.
Siegel
just
has been
slip
doing well.
That in there, but Siegel's been doing pretty well.
He has definitely punching above his weight. Not quite, he's not on podiums yet, but he is definitely progressing for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah, makes me a little less upset that they replaced Théo Pourchaire with him.
Yeah, I will say not a fan of the blue and orange
His
car because every time I saw him, I thought it was Scott Dixon. So
See, I liked it because he's the easiest one to tell out of all 3 McLaren drivers. Because one
he is.
Lundgaard is orange and black, and Pato is black and orange.
Yes. And Siegel is blue and orange, but so is Scott Dixon. So I always
it's
got
a different shade.
Yeah. It's hard to tell.
If you aren't colorblind, then it's easy to tell.
We're not going to get into that right now. I'm not colorblind. My family might beg to differ, but I'm not. I've taken the test. Colton
the test
Herta.
Is just Scott Dixon's car and Noam Siegel's car next to each other.
The same picture. Yeah. Colton Herta and pit stops equals sad times. That guy cannot catch a break.
It's so bad.
It's always the pit stops. He's always doing great. And then
he lost four positions off of the pit stop this time in the middle of the race. Like, the most important part of the race.
Yeah.
And he lost four positions in pit.
Absolutely crazy. The guy cannot catch a break to save his life. He did stall, so kind of his fault. But also, like, man, you can't help but feel bad for the guy.
Yeah.
So let's go through IndyCar standings real quick. We'll go through the top 10. Alex Palou in first by a country mile, followed by Christian Lundgaard and Kyle Kirkwood in third. Pato O'Ward is in fourth after I just got done dragging his name through the mud. Felix Rosenqvist up there in fifth.
That was sneaky.
Very sneaky. He's tied for fifth with Scott McLaughlin. Seventh is Scott Dixon. Eighth is Colton Herta. Ninth is Will Power. And tenth is Alex Rossi, who's having the best season he's had in a while.
Yeah, so it's safe to say the top 10 are still kind of fighting for second place.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a very clear gap between third and fourth.
I mean, an Alex Palou DNF, which is still possible, would bring somebody right back into it.
Sounds like 2023 Verstappen again. Yeah. I keep on bringing it up, but, like, this is the exact same thing people were saying with Verstappen, is, like, especially earlier in the season, they're like, well, He could DNF. He could just not finish the race and then give other people a chance.
Never crashes anymore. Yeah. So.
And then he did DNF and he still won by an insane amount in Australia.
Right. Exactly. All right. Let's move on to Formula One and the Miami Grand Prix. We'll start with sprint qualifying because it was a sprint weekend, which everybody forgot about until it was sprint qualifying.
Yep.
So, in first place on sprint pole was Kimi Antonelli. A new name at the front. Guy was actually crazy fast this week in qualifying.
Nice qualifier.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I just said, Ben.
In qualifying.
He was on pole position, followed by Oscar Piastri and Lando Norris. Fourth and fifth were Verstappen and Russell. Sixth through ten were Leclerc, Hamilton, Albon, Hadjar, and Alonso. Moving into the sprint highlights, Piastri, Norris, and Verstappen passed Antonelli into turn one after he went way too deep and tried to claim that Piastri shoved him off the track, even though that's definitely not what happened. The track ended up drying very quickly throughout the race, causing the drivers to pit for dry tires halfway through.
Yeah, to preface, the track was pretty wet.
Yeah,
it was. To start off.
Very wet.
It was a deluge.
So wet, in fact, that Leclerc crashed on his way to the grid a half hour before the race and was not able to participate in the sprint race.
It was so wet, they forgot about wet tires.
Yeah, they put the intermediates on them and
not end well. There's a lot of rain. I wish we had a tire that was better than the intermediate to use for these kinds of conditions.
The guy also was absolutely mobbing down the backstreet. Yeah. Like it was completely
dry. He was cooking.
Dry.
He thought they gave him the wets.
Yeah. Yeah, not great from Leclerc, but anyway, the track dragged quickly. Drivers pit in the middle of the race. Verstappen was released into Antonelli after his pit stop, forcing Antonelli to go around and pit again, essentially taking a drive-through penalty and damage on his car for no reason. Verstappen got a 10-second penalty for this, which dropped him out of the points. Sainz hit the wall on lap 13, causing him to DNF. For some reason, there was no safety car or virtual safety car for the crazy amount of debris that was all over the track. Hamilton made his way to the front of the field after a fantastic pit strategy. Lawson spun Alonso into the wall on lap 15, causing a safety car. Alonso was in P4 at the time.
More Alonso Lawson beef coming up.
Oh man. Lando pit under the safety car that ensued, which allowed him to jump Piastri on pit strategy, and the race ended under safety car. They just wanted to get it over with because it was pretty chaotic.
Yeah, we love sprints.
No.
They accomplished so much.
So much.
This one even had a safety car.
That one was entertaining, but it wasn't good.
Yeah.
crazy sprint race. More Alonso pain. The guy still has yet to score a point this year. So let's go through the top 10 on this, or top 8 in the sprint. The point scores, we had Lando Norris winning, followed by Piastri and Hamilton. Fourth and fifth were Russell and Stroll. feel so bad.
Stroll continuing to be the top point scorer for Aston Martin, by the way.
Exactly.
Outscoring the second Red Bull driver.
Consistency is key. 6 through 8, we had Tsunoda, Antonelli, and Gasly. Antonelli miraculously coming home with points after doing a drive-through penalty. There were also a myriad of penalties that were applied, including Verstappen and I believe Sainz got one. No.
No, Sainz crashed. That was his penalty.
Who? Yeah. Oh, that's right. Who was it? Someone else I thought got one, but maybe not.
Lawson?
Might have been. Oh, it was definitely Lawson. Yeah. Because yeah. Lawson finished in the points, but then he didn't get points because penalty.
Yeah.
That's
cool.
Right. And then 3 retirements, 2 during the race, 1 before the race.
Love that.
Qualifying.
Yeah, I'm glad we had a sprint so we could waste all that time.
Right, exactly. And destroy cars.
Yeah.
Qualifying. Pole position went to Max Verstappen. The guy is driving a tractor to P1 every week. Then we had Lando Norris and Kimi Antonelli in the top 3 again.
Crazy.
4th and 5th were Piastri and Russell. 6 through 10 were Sainz, Albon, Leclerc, Ocon, and Tsunoda. Moving into the race, Verstappen and Norris almost crashed into turn 2. Norris fell back like 3 places. Piastri then chased down Verstappen and passed him early in the race. Norris then caught up to Antonelli and Verstappen and made his way up to P2. Piastri drove off into the sunset, won by an insane margin. A virtual safety car in the middle of the race let Russell jump Verstappen in the pits on strategy, and Hamilton made some passes and good progress throughout the race, all while screaming at Ferrari.
Until he didn't. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know why I did that. It's not. There we go. So, results of the race, top 10 were Piastri, Norris, Russell on the podium, followed by Verstappen and Albon. 6 through 10 were Antonelli, Leclerc, Hamilton, Sainz, and Tsunoda scoring another point for Red Bull.
Just scraping by.
We had 4 retirements, including Liam Lawson, who I think had a mechanical DNF.
It was kind of mechanical.
It was also damage on the car because of the crash with Jack Doohan, who also retired due to that crash. Bortoleto had a...
like
some
a power
sort
unit
of,
issue or something.
I know Behrman had a power unit issue. His engine exploded on the...
Yeah.
In sector 2.
I think Bortoleto also had a PU issue.
Yeah, that's right, because he was saying something's wrong.
I can't drive.
Yeah.
There's no power.
There's no power, yeah, so...
And then it cuts to him pulled over on the side of the road.
Right. So interesting stuff there. We are getting to that point in the season where they're still on their first initial engines and they're giving out. We are a quarter of the way through the season now. So that kind of makes sense.
Yeah. Good thing the rookies are taking the brunt of it for the rest of the grid.
Yep. Fernando Alonso finishing 15th on merit.
Yeah.
Unfortunate things.
Barely squeaking by Lance Stroll.
Yeah. Right. Let's talk about some stuff. First off, we had to say it for the first time this year. Piastri dominance made Bore fans.
And this is like actually, that was actually a dominant race. That was like.
No, that was his first like real like, okay, that's like Verstappen Hamilton.
30 seconds ahead. Yeah.
He won by he wasn't that far ahead of
He's like
Lando.
10 seconds ahead, I think it was like six.
I think it was like 6 seconds ahead of Lando.
Four and a half.
But he was also managing.
That's what I was looking at. Lando was ahead. Is this Delta from leader?
That's Delta from the next car. So Lando finished the race after the whole problems at the start of the race. Lando, no, that is from leader.
I was going to say, Lewis Hamilton is a minute behind Charles Leclerc. That's crazy.
But still, Lando finished, it would be 33 seconds ahead of George Russell in third place. Which means that Piastri finished 37 seconds ahead.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Absolutely nuts. That's some Verstappen stuff right there. Just absolute dominance. He was obviously not driving as fast as he could either because...
Why would you?
Just taking the car home, keeping Lando at bay, no problems. So, crazy good race from Piastri. Crazy bad celebration at the end of the race. He hit the gritty very poorly.
Another cringe moment.
We'll
add that to the lunch guard
yeah.
joke that Buxton made.
To be fair to him, it wasn't his fault. He lost a bet, so he lost a bet by winning the race. So hopefully we don't see any Piastri gritties anymore.
Maybe he's learned.
Maybe. I doubt it. He said he would have practiced it the night before, but he was starting P4, so he didn't feel a need. then goes and wins by 40 seconds.
And he's like so reserved most of the time. It would be like watching like Kimi Räikkönen.
Like dab.
Yeah. At the end of a race, like you just don't see it.
Yeah.
You don't really expect it.
Expect that much, but he is a Gen Zer, so
he's a zoomer. He do be zooming,
and he's pretty funny on TikTok. I will say that. All the McLaren.
I'm not on TikTok.
Well, they end up on Instagram eventually. But anyway,
yeah. Weirdly enough, I'm not on F1 Instagram very much.
That's fair. I just send you the memes.
Yeah, you send me the memes, and that's where I get it from.
There you go. So let's talk about Lando. Verstappen is absolutely Lando's Achilles heel. The guy still has not figured out how to pass him. And Verstappen is driving semi-cleanly-ish. Yeah. He's driving like Verstappen. Like Verstappen tends to drive when he's not winning by a minute and a half.
Yeah, we're back to 2021 Verstappen shenanigans.
Does feel like that, yeah. Yeah. He is kind of pushing the limits of what's fair.
Just trying to see how far he can go before he is kicked off the track.
There was some controversy about how maybe Verstappen should have been given a penalty at the beginning of the race. I do think it was probably a racing incident, especially considering it was turn two. It was close. Verstappen was not really in control of his car. I don't think he deserved a penalty, but it was a little borderline.
Yeah.
I think
it was luck that he made it stick.
Yeah, he shoved Lando off the track, and that caused some problems, but... I think it all turned out how it should have. So, George Russell has been super solid at the beginning of this year. He has not finished outside of the top five yet, which is
something we were saying last year.
Is that what we were saying last year?
Pretty sure that's what we were saying last year. Editor, bring up every video from last year where we said Russell's in top five.
No.
Dang it.
No, that
the snap isn't working anymore. It's so weird.
I will not be doing. I can do a lot, but that's no.
You need AI.
Got four. Yeah, I could do that.
Chat GPT. Scrub through all of our video footage.
We're not too far from
that. Chat GPT, start a podcast in Ben's office at his house.
There you go. It's just AI.
About F1. Make it about half an hour to 4 or 5 minutes.
VTubers of us. Yeah.
VTubers. Don't even get me started.
Yeah, no, not great. But yeah, Russell's been very good. No real complaints there.
I don't think he's going to win the championship.
No,
but
no. It's
he's set up for a very solid third place.
Yes, it's going to be one of the McLarens. Antonelli has been incredibly impressive at the beginning of this season when I thought he was going to be an absolute flop. But yeah, taking sprint pole and then qualifying third for the race back to back, great stuff. Still doesn't have all of the race pace that he requires. He also is very impatient in the race, which just causes him problems. So he's got stuff to learn. You can tell he's a rookie, but after a couple of years he might be scary.
Yeah, he's also a rookie who is 42 points ahead of the next closest rookie.
Yes, indeed. He's also in a way better car, but
he is.
But still, he's doing a very, very good job.
If you put Jack Duan in the Mercedes, would he be in sixth place in championship?
It's hard to say, but I doubt it.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
All right. Lewis Hamilton not having the greatest of seasons.
Angry.
Ferrari. serious anger issues going on over there. Almost, they are justified. Ferrari is being Ferrari, and I think Lewis Hamilton thought he could fix them. turns out no one can fix Ferrari. So lots of yelling at his race engineer, stuff like that. So yeah, good stuff from Hamilton. He did have a good race. There were team orders that kind of caused some issues.
Mm-hmm.
Or lack of team orders, as the case
was. Then too many
team orders. Too many team orders.
The and double Ferrari swap.
Ferrari clearly has no idea what they're doing. Trying to make everyone happy means no one's happy.
Yeah.
Jack Doohan, we talked about struggling a little bit.
Sorry, I'm getting sidetracked.
looking at this.
The boy's doing us a favor. Okay, sorry.
All the memes. Bortoleto has been struggling the last few races. Not entirely his fault. He is driving a horrible car. He did out-qualify Nico Hülkenberg this week, so...
And Hülkenberg actually had a decent race.
He really did. He finished 14th.
He finished 14th.
But not bad for 14th. Sauber. Yeah.
14th. He was in the points there for a decent amount of time.
Yeah. Sauber is absolutely nowhere this year, so I'm not going to get on Bortoleto too much. But it's not been fun, I'm sure. And then even less fun, Liam Lawson is just
having
making,
a bad time.
Making Isaac Hadjar look so good.
Yep. He's making enemies. He's crashing in other drivers.
I think he's so in his own head right now that he just can't.
Yeah.
The guy puts himself in decent positions and then he just throws it all away.
It's like the worst aspects of Gasly after his demotion.
Yeah, exactly. So with all that being said, let's go through the standings real quick. Oscar Piastri is out in front ahead of Lando Norris by 16 points. Lando Norris in P2 ahead of Verstappen by 16 points, who is 6 points ahead of George Russell in fourth. And then we got a 40-point drop to Leclerc in fifth, then Antonelli and Hamilton in sixth and seventh. 8 through 10 are Albon, Ocon, and Lance Stroll at the top half of the grid. Fernando Alonso, Liam Lawson, Jack Doohan, and Gabriel Bortoleto still at 0 points.
All the rookies.
Isaac Hadjar is at 5. Oliver Bearman is at 6. I think Hadjar and Bearman have been doing fantastic this season. They're just in cars that are not going to be scoring 18 points a race.
Yeah.
So, but I've been very impressed, especially with Hadjar. He's killing it too. Constructors, McLaren has 246 points out in first. They are 105 points ahead of Mercedes in second. It's going to be a runaway Constructors this year.
It's a team effort, too.
Very Red Bull-esque. Yeah, I mean, not even because, yeah, it is a team effort. So it's not it's worse than a Red Bull. And then Red Bull's at 105 thanks to Max Verstappen.
Yep.
And then Ferrari is in fourth. And Williams is in fifth, best of the rest, and it's not even really close to Haas.
That's a huge delta.
Williams is doing very well, and they were faster than Ferrari this week.
Swapping to an actual inventory management system has done wonders for their race car.
Getting
who would have thought?
Excel, yeah. So Williams, very impressive this year, top of the midfield. What a comeback. James Vowles deserves to be there after he was questioned quite a bit last season. Obviously, he just inherited quite a problematic situation.
Yeah.
And went through some pain to fix that. But they seem to be on the up and up. They are improving. James Vowles has many championships worth of experience with Mercedes. So the guy knows what he's doing. He is a very well-spoken man. Very good team principal. I think he is my favorite team principal. And Williams is...
Really?
Is one of my favorite teams at the moment. I love Carlos Sainz. And... as much as I hated on Alex Albon at the beginning of the year, I do love him as a person. I just thought he was bad, but he's not.
We were wrong.
We were wrong. Guy's crazy good. Pit stop championship. Let's go through it. Bortoleto and P1. Those words I never thought I would say.
Sauber too.
Sauber. With a time of 2.24 seconds, so he would be P10 in any other race that's
been so far. They're not fast laps. Miami's just, the pit lane is just kind of slow at Miami.
Pit lane is crazy narrow, which I think has a lot to do with it.
Because
you can't, like, spread out as a pit crew. You are, if you're anywhere further back than, like, right up where the wheels are, you're in the fast lane. So that's probably got a lot to do with it. Then we had McLaren and Piastri in P2, Gasly in P3, Tsunoda in P4, Norris in P5, 6 through 10 were Hadjar, Leclerc, Albon, Lawson, and Stroll. So
Stroll's still in the top 10, doesn't matter what metric it is.
Yep, and Alonso's still in the bottom. Ferrari having a little bit of an off week, but moving into the championship standings, it is still Hamilton and Leclerc out front. Followed by Russell, Bortoleto, and Tsunoda. Bortoleto actually, like, scoring good points.
Insane.
In the pits. Remember the pits last year, the Sauber pit stops?
Yeah, that they were a joke.
So memeable. Yeah,
they literally had to like make statements and like promise that they're going to try to do better.
We're going to do better next time, we promise. And then they didn't. So Sauber doing really well. They are actually in fourth in the pit stop championship as a team.
Crazy.
Right behind Mercedes and McLaren, and then Ferrari is way out in front by 102 points. Overtake of the week, I gave this to Oscar Piastri for his overtake on Verstappen into turn one in Miami. There weren't too many crazy overtakes. This one was very clinical, though.
Yeah, Lundgaard on, was it power?
I think that one. That one was good, too.
That was pretty good. That was pretty brave around the outside.
Very, very solid.
But yeah, Piastri on Verstappen was great.
Yeah, I mean, I think the reason I liked that so much is you could tell that Piastri's just learned and he knows how to deal with Max, where Lando can't figure it out. But Piastri's like, I just need to put pressure on him until he does something stupid trying to take me out.
Yeah.
And then not get taken out and drive past him.
Yeah. Racing 101, just wait for the other guy to mess up.
Yeah, exactly. You put pressure on him, wait for him to mess up. When he panics, and drive past. We did get a through goes Hamilton moment almost. That would have been the overtake of the week. If he actually passed Leclerc doing that. but did not quite happen. Crofty went for the through goes Hamilton, and it kind of fizzled out because he didn't actually get through. He did pass Sainz, though.
Oh, I did cook. Oh, my gosh.
I told you. Ben cooked this week in IndyCar.
I'm so happy.
Pole position. Let's go through our predictions now. For the Alabama Children's of Alabama Grand Prix in IndyCar, pole position went to Alex Palou. What did you say, Ben?
I had Will Power. That was kind of my wild card.
Yep, I had Pato O'Ward. Did not happen. He did qualify okay, but not on pole. Podium was Palou, Lundgaard, and McLaughlin. What did you say, Ben?
I just so happened to have Palou, Lundgaard, and McLaughlin.
There you go.
It was great.
Absolutely cooked this week. I had Palou, Dixon, and O'Ward. The other two did have decent races, but were not on the podium. Palou was, though. I took my free bingo space.
Yep.
Winning number of pit stops was 3. What did you say, Ben?
It was 3.
I said 2.
And I was actually wondering if they're going to pull out some 2-stoppers there.
Yeah.
In that race.
I think everybody had at least 3.
Everybody hated the blacks, so they just wanted to be on reds the entire time.
Yeah. It was all soft tires. Black tires were nowhere. All right, moving on to Miami. The top 5, to remind everybody, was Piastri, Norris, Russell, Verstappen, and Albon. What did you say, Ben?
I had Piastri, Russell, Norris, Verstappen, Antonelli, and Sainz as my dark horse. So I actually knocked out a couple of those. I feel pretty good about that.
You did. I had Norris, Piastri, Verstappen, Russell, and Leclerc with Hadjar as my dark horse. I did not do very well with that one.
Yeah.
Thank God, none of those, right? That's okay.
He took a shot.
The one time I didn't choose Albon as my dark horse.
Yeah. And Leclerc in the top 5. Bold.
We're getting to that.
Ferrari's not going to let you do that.
Ferrari's going to become dark horse territory here pretty soon. Fastest lap went to Lando Norris. What did you say, Ben?
I had Lando Norris.
You're doing so well this
week.
Popping
off.
I had Piastri. I'm sure it was probably second or something.
Yeah.
Driver of the day, I had Piastri. Or no, I did not have Piastri. It went to Piastri. Mm. What did you say, Ben?
I had Russell for this one. Sorry about that.
I had Hadjar, so nope. all right.
What a shot, though.
Yeah, you had a great week.
I had a great week, and it's not going to carry over to this week. There's no way.
There's no way because, well, we'll get to that. Pole position for the Sunseo Grand Prix at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. This is not the Indy 500. This is the Grand Prix circuit, which is one of my favorite circuits.
Absolutely, really
IndyCar,
like this one. Yeah.
On the IndyCar calendar. So, what do you got, Ben?
I have my boy Herta. I will always remember him drifting around the track for position back in, what was that, 2022?
Something like that.
And I just have to believe.
Yep, Herta Bros unite.
We have to stay strong. This is his track, guys. We know it.
He's going to do it. As long as he doesn't have to do any pit stops, he'll be okay.
As few pit stops as possible.
Yeah. So, Herta for pole. I have Dixon on pole position. Podium, what do you got, Ben?
I have Palou, Herta, and Dixon.
And I have Lundgaard, Palou, and Herta. So, Herta Bros definitely fighting this week.
Cope, 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 cope.
All the copium.
We have to cope harder.
The harder we cope, the better his pit stops. Winning number of pit stops. What do you got, Ben?
I've got 3 for this one.
I've got 2. Repeating last time, but yeah. We'll see.
I feel like most of the time it does come down to, is it a shorter course? Then it's 2. Is it a longer course?
And even then, it's not even that easy. I swear it's literally just a toss up every year.
Yeah.
But I think it depends more on the temperature on the given day that
we could honestly just have that number assigned to our names. It's like Ben is always 3 and Nathan's always 2.
Seems to go that way, yeah. Except for the Indy 500, we gotta bump those numbers up. Those are rookie numbers.
Gotta remember what I did last time so I can do more.
Yeah. All right. Formula One predictions for the Emilia-Romagna Grand Prix, which is the shortened name of the full race.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see
who's the title sponsor this year? It's not Rolex, because Tog here is the...
Well, it wouldn't be Rolex. It's probably Pirelli.
Pirelli, yeah.
Pirelli, or who's the... Who does the champagne? Wait, doesn't Ferrari do the champagne?
Yes. Technically, it's sparkling wine. What's it called?
We will find out. Go to ESPN because they have F1. All the names of the...
No,
we're going to find out the full name of this race because it matters.
Reject all cookies. Okay, I've got it. It's the Formula One AWS Gran Premio del Made in Italy. Dell'Emilia Romagna 2025.
That.
It's the Made in Italy.
So race. AWS is the sponsor, and then there's 15 other words. I didn't do this on purpose. He's gagging at the new Mercedes AMG GT63 APX GP edition. Why are we, this is for the movie, isn't it?
It's a movie car, and they're like, look, it's another matte black and gold car. Don't you love it so much? Don't you love that we took the incredible GT, which is the follow-up to the insanely cool SLS, and then we just put it on the C-Class platform? Don't you love that? Aren't you so happy that it's on the S? Aren't you so happy that it's just an SL with more horsepower? Do you love that? Do you love that it's the same size as a Mercedes C-Class coupe now? Isn't that so cool?
I love your rants, Ben. This is great. How do you really feel about the car?
I want to strangle Mercedes project management or product management, just like, just to see. Like, do they actually need the oxygen going to their brain, or are they okay without it? I don't know.
Let's put a 4-cylinder PHEV in our C63S. Oh, why is nobody buying them? Oh, customers don't want horsepower or V8. They just want horsepower and technology.
The opening sequence of the video is going to be very easy this week.
I'm sorry, it keeps coming up.
That's hilarious.
They have an inline 6 mallet hybrid that they could put in, but no, their top spec flagship motor is a 4-cylinder plug-in hybrid that weighs more. Why? You could put an inline 6 in these cars and you could bring it. It could be a throwback to like the original SLs.
Mercedes, hire this man.
Don't hire me. I will kill a man.
Keep him away from your PR team, but he's got ideas. All right, let's move on before we get sued. Formula One and the Emilia-Romagna Grand Prix. Imola, give me your top 5, Ben.
I've got Piastri, Norris, Russell, Antonelli, and Verstappen, which actually, now that I'm thinking about it, sounds very close to what I did last week, but whatever.
It's fine. I've got, who's your dark horse?
Oh, it's Behrman.
Gotcha. I've got Piastri, Verstappen, Norris, Antonelli, and Sainz with Ocon as my dark horse. So each of us has a Haas boy.
Haas boys.
Haas boys unite. Fastest lap, what do you got, Ben?
Okay. Piastri.
That Mercedes rant really, really got to you.
I accidentally drank the water that makes you cough before saying Piastri.
Yeah, right. I have Norris with fastest lap. Driver of the day, what do you got, Ben?
Also Piastri.
I have Sainz. Can't tell you why.
If you take a shot at the side of the barn 3 times, you're bound to hit once.
Something like that, yeah. And obviously the driver of the day votes this week or this year have been dubious.
Yes. Quite.
So, all right. This is some words of wisdom that I know my fiance would very much appreciate. So, Ben, what do you got for us on this lovely Monday evening?
Yeah, we're moving into summer, and it's lovely. But, you know, isn't lovely? Dead plants and dead garden plants and dead lawn plants, which is called grass. So it's really important to be proactive with watering. Don't wait until it starts turning brown, especially the grass, because that just means it's going dormant and it won't come back until it's way cooler and way wetter, which essentially means you're going to be stuck with the lawn that's brown in your neighborhood versus everybody else who is watering early. And just like watering, you know, in the evening or in the morning. Obviously, the morning is nice because it gives it kind of like a moisture protection as it goes throughout the day. But evening is fine too. It's just when it's not super hot, it's all just going to evaporate because water is expensive if you don't have an in-ground well and you're paying for it. But yeah, be proactive. Don't let your plants die this summer.
Ben, with the lovely words of wisdom as an adult.
I feel much calmer now talking about my vegetable garden.
Yeah.
I feel much better.
Forget about the Mercedes was. leave the petrol behind and swap it for some soil.
Yeah.
And water. All right. I don't even know what I'm talking about anymore, so we're going to go ahead and wrap up this episode. Thank you everybody so much for watching and or listening to this episode. If you enjoyed it, leave a like or rating on the platform. Listen on really helps us out. Subscribe or follow if you'd like to see more of our beautiful faces. If you want to see updated standings for IndyCar and F1 or a calendar of upcoming racing from those series, check out our website at revhang.com. If you have a question about racing or about us, hit us up on any socials or in the comments or DMs, and we may feature your question on the next show. You can follow Ben on Instagram at BenjiMeetsWorld and myself at 2N_squared. You can follow the RevHang page on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, TikTok, anywhere at RevHang Media. We'll be back in 2 short weeks to talk about the IndyCar Suncio Grand Prix at IMS and the Formula One Emilia Romagna Grand Prix at Imola. But until then, I've been Nathan.
And I'm Ben.
Thanks for hanging out.
See you later.